ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Underdog Theology. We are live. This is the podcast where we're live. So many podcasts, they don't want to do things live. They want to record it. They want it to be edited. They want it to sound smart. That's not what we do here. We just hang out and we talk theology. We talk about stuff going on in the church. And we've got some stuff to talk about. We've got a couple videos to take a look at. We've got an Australian comedian who's going to be making an appearance later. I'm so sorry to Slightly. If he's around, if you're around Slightly, maybe we're watching on the replay. You know, like I'm sorry, but it's going to happen. We've got the penalty box, like always. We've got a really just out there trip to Fundyville. We've got some tweets to vote on. We've got a lot of stuff going on today. I jam-packed this episode because, well, honestly, there hasn't been a whole lot going on. Usually we do like a lot of reactionary stuff, and I was like trying to find stuff over the weekend. I was like, what are we going to talk about? And I kind of threw it out to you guys, and you guys had some good stuff, and we'll probably deal with a lot of those things eventually. But I think the main thing that I kept on hearing was talk about the Doug Wilson stuff. Talk about him going out into a field and lighting it on fire. Talk about the whole idea of this no quarter November thing. So I think we're going to do that. We're going to be talking about some marketing stuff today. And as usual, I'm not an expert on the topic. All right. I'm not an expert on marketing. Here's the deal, though. I'm fairly okay at it. You know, you're here. You're here because I'm at least decent with marketing. Because otherwise, I would just be talking to nobody on the internet. But we got some people here who are in the chat saying hi. We've got, oh my goodness, man. We've got Josiah here, it's 5:30 a.m. in Australia. I think I'll have to watch the replay after I get my kids ready for school. 5:30 a.m. And he's here. He's here for the live stream. That's crazy. Thanks for hanging out. And definitely do what's important. Get your kids to school. And then you can watch stuff. Sam's here and says, hey, fam. And you know what that means.
What's up, fam?
We got to play the sound effect. And Sam says she's already triggered. It's okay. You know, we're going to get through this together. It's what being an underdog is all about. You know, being together. It's not just about one person. It's about a community. What do we even call it? Is it a pack? Is it the underdog pack? Is it what? A whole bunch of dogs. What do you call that? I don't. It's not a flock. I know that. Guys, it's getting colder. Let me randomly talk about the weather for a second. We're talking about snow tomorrow. Guys, pray for me. Pray for me. We're talking about snow tomorrow. Last night, 2 a.m. I hear geese flying. They're running away from the storm. They're trying to get out of here. They were late. You know, it was unexpected for them. And so they're just trying to get out of here. We got snow coming. It's going to be great. I'm so excited for the winter. Can't you tell? That's not honest. I can't lie to you, underdogs. It's going to be the worst. Okay. I don't like it when it rains. But like, I like it when it rains. I don't like it when it snows, and it's going to be a lot of snow. And Jer says, I'm only here for the beard. Well, you know what? You get the beard today. Guys, I got a new hat. Whoa. Didn't realize how trippy that's going to be. All right. We're going to have to leave it backwards. didn't think about that with the greens. You didn't see anything. This is very professional. If that was real gasoline that Doug Wilson was spilling while smoking his cigar, he almost could have been a Darwin Award winner. I think that's the whole gimmick. Like, we'll take a look at it in just a minute here, but it's on purpose. Everything that you see is on purpose, unfortunately. Come down to the lower 50 and enjoy some nice fall air. Oh, man, do I wish that was possible. I need to turn down my microphone just a little bit. I forgot that I attached a different microphone for something else that you'll see later. Miss Creole is here and says, it's definitely a pack of dogs. Okay. All right. So we're a pack. We're a pack of underdogs. It's what it is. We figured it out. In the 80s here, how dare you? Why would you do that to me? You know what?
What's wrong with you people?
Don't be coming in here when I'm like, I thought we were a community. I thought that we could like support one another and we could talk about the things going on with us. And then here I am talking about how it's going to be snowing tomorrow. And Sam's just like, it ain't snowing here. Sucker. All right.
Uh-oh.
All right. Let's talk about some marketing, huh? Let's just get into it. Let's go over here and let's take a look at what Doug Wilson has been up to. Now, I know that this is going around the internet right now, but it is old. Like, it's kind of interesting to see how this keeps on happening. I need to move a little bit. This keeps on happening where something is like big on YouTube or some other platform, and then eventually it makes its way to Twitter and everyone's like, what is going on? This was not the announcement for this year's thing. I don't know what that's going to be. I think they release it on November 1st. Or at least it looks like that. Let's go. We could see here. Show us more, YouTube. November 1st, 2019. So this is from that. Now let's just take a look. And some of you might be like, I have no idea what's going on, Dean. What are you talking about? No quarter November. It's a thing. Let's watch.
Hi. Hi. Douglas Wilson.
Oh.
Welcome back to No Quarter November.
Here we go.
What is No Quarter November? You may ask.
It's a basic concept. Good question.
Is that we have gotten a little soft in these decaying times of ours. And there comes a time when every good-hearted Christian wants to hoist the Jolly Roger and just go to war with the world, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think that is an admirable sentiment. It needs to be cultivated more. Some people might say, isn't pastoral piracy or a pastoral approach to these things a little antinomian? But no, I prefer to think of it as piratical theonomy. So what I hope to do is post a couple of times a week where I simply dissect something or assault it or discipline it with a canoe paddle, something like that, and give no qualifications at all. This is the way you ought to be thinking and praying. I hope you can expect that by December 1, everything will be all better, and these sorts of things will become completely unnecessary. I hope you enjoy.
Here we go. Oh, it's the big blues! Oh, it's totally real! Definitely. Guys. Alright. Gotta say, you know, I've given the media guys over at, over at Moscow, I've given them some credit because they come up with some pretty killer graphics, I gotta say. This music choice is crazy bad. Okay. It's like, this is so odd sounding. It sounds like, what are we doing? We going to an emo club? Is that what we're doing? I don't, but just in case anyone was wondering, you guys can see the grass there. You can see it's transparent with the chair a little bit. They got their green screen a little wrong. But it's that's what's going on. Okay, so this isn't real. He's not really there. This is all green screen. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that most of the things that they do are green screen, but then we get, oh, like guys, watch the flames go back and forth. This is how you know it's real, because it doesn't fire usually do this. Goes back and forth. Interesting. All right. Now, obviously this is ridiculous. obviously this is just like way, way out there, but it is marketing. It is marketing. This guy and his whole team over there, I don't know if he came up with the concept and they ran with it, but the whole idea is to be a pirate for Jesus and to, you know, have as much fun as possible for them. And that means being as crass as they want to be, as being as rude as they want. Basically, November for them is like it's a hall pass. It's a hall pass for them to get past the morals of the kingdom and just be a jerk online. Like that's what they do. You could see it. You could see it year after year. That's pretty much what they do. And this is all part of like getting his crowd ramped up. Guys, have you ever been to an NBA game? Let me know in the chat. Have you been to an NBA game? Does it start with just, you know, someone like Jim Nance? He does mostly golf, but Jim Nance coming out and just being like, all right, guys, is it like the comparison with golf is actually pretty good. Like, all right, guys, we're going to be having a basketball game and it's going to be a really good game. We're going to expect that things are going to go really well for our team. You know, we got some good starters. Here we go. Starting at point guard, Stephon Marbury. It's just a name I just thought of. But like, you know, you don't hear that, right? It's all riled up. It's adrenaline. It's, you know, the lights go out in the stadium and all of a sudden, you know, there's lights shining down on the court and there's fire everywhere and stars and like all these things that are really bright within this dark room to make you get excited. That's marketing. It's supposed to get you amped up so that throughout the game, you're rooting your team on. And you got that adrenaline going right off the bat. You don't have to wait until something exciting happens midway through the game for you to get jacked up and be like, yeah, let's go. We're going to rip their heads off. You know, that's what Doug Wilson is doing. So this, and Jer liked it, Starbury. I mostly think of him, you know, for another team, but I won't do that to you. But that's what he's doing. He's basically just saying like, hey, you know, this is what we do. We love, you know, having this time where we're just going through stuff and being, you know, as mean as possible. And they do that. And they make these videos that are just some of just the worst stuff. Okay. Like they, and like you think like throughout the year, maybe throughout the year, you're just like, this is a little much, right? Like for an institution, for a Christian institution, go look at some of their videos. Don't watch them, but you can look at them because if you watch them, YouTube is going to hound you and be like, you're going to watch all these things. I watch just this one this weekend. And all of a sudden YouTube's like, do you want to watch everything Doug Wilson has ever put out? That's the way YouTube works. So just look at his channel and don't click on it, but look at it and you'll see like that they put out crazy videos all the time. If you think that anything that I do with some of my marketing stuff is out there, like, well, you haven't checked out their channel. Like, cause they're just really mean, crass. They put everything out there. They're always picking at people and calling everybody the worst. All right. That's what they do throughout the year. November is like the special time where they go even further. You know, he's talking about beating people with canoes. And I guess that's funny for people in his camp, but they're going to get all excited. And, you know, I've noticed this even with my channel. If I have anything to do with Doug Wilson during November or even close to it, even right now, there are probably going to be people who are going to be like, I can't wait till Doug Wilson, you know, nails Dean to the wall. You know, like they're going to put comments like that because they do that every single year. You know, not that we're big to get on anybody's radar, but you know, it happens sometimes. But they'll come into the comments and they'll say whatever they want because they feel like they have this free pass from their leader, Doug Wilson, who, you know, he's being pretty reckless, right? Like that's the whole point. The whole point of this marketing, you know, like everyone's going like, does he know? Does he know that he has a cigar and he's pouring gasoline? That's the whole vibe. The whole vibe is so that you understand that this is about being reckless. This is about, you know, taking all the morals of the kingdom, you know, that Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount and setting them aside for a while. You know, just 30 days. And let's not be pastoral. He talks about that. You know, like let's not be pastoral. Let's be pirates. And let's just say whatever we want. It's all marketing. It's all marketing to get the young men specifically. And of course, there are going to be women who are attached to that too, most likely because a man that they like is attached to this. But it's specifically drawing on young men to bring out all of those urges of being bold and brazen and sometimes just being a complete jerk. You know, just take out all those emotions and be like, we could do it. It's good now. It's good now. If Doug Wilson says, you know, it's free, you know, this month is free to be able to have all that stuff and do whatever you want, say whatever you want with no repercussions, then they're going to go out and do it. And as I said so many times, some of you guys are tired of me saying this, followers go further, guys. So while this is a joke and everyone online will be like, I think Jer even got retweeted from the Canon Press account, which I thought was hilarious. I never get retweeted about anything. But he got retweeted for pointing out how absurd this is. And a lot of people did because they want that out there because they want to be able to make fun of anyone who looks at this and says, this is dumb. Like, of course it's dumb. Like the idea of walking out into a field and with a bunch of gasoline, just lighting it on fire. Great timing considering a lot of things that have gone on in North America over the last two summers, but you know, whatever. It's dumb on a lot of counts, but it's also just dumb because it's reckless for any Christian leader to be saying those things. Guys, I know some people go like, well, Dean, aren't you pretty bold and brazen about how you say things? Yeah. But I try not to be like purposefully rude in what I say. Like I might give you a bold opinion, you know, like I'm not saying my opinions are the greatest in the world. I'm just saying like, I always speak my mind and I give pretty honest thoughts, but do understand that I filter these things like, because I understand that people will listen and not only will I be held account to what I say online, which is something that Doug Wilson doesn't seem to get through his head at all. But also the people that watch, the people who are in the chat, even though you guys are all independent thinkers and you guys have your own minds, you might take something that I say, something that I do, and go further with it. And as a leader, as a voice of any, you know, if anyone's listening to you, you do have a responsibility to make sure that you are saying things in a way that even if you're giving a bold opinion, which Doug Wilson is free to give as many bold opinions as he wants online. But the nature that we have, if we're Christians, which is also something for Doug Wilson that we have to bring into the discussion here in a minute. But if we're supposed to be Christians and we're supposed to be following after Jesus, there's a certain way that we do it. And we have to do it in a way that our followers, our listeners, you guys who are watching, even just me, I have to be careful to make sure that I'm doing it in a way that doesn't amp you on to do something else. There's a reason why, you know, just going back to Stephon Marbury and a basketball game, there's a reason why the language that they use is mostly like, let's go, not let's kill him. You know, like, let's light him on fire. Like, they don't do that. Because if they do that, you know that people are going to get, you know, whipped up into a frenzy. And as actually, all right, David is here, and he's from the UK. So I'm assuming football. football is a big deal for him. But there's a reason why in North America, you don't have some of the problems that you do in other places around the world with fans. You know, obviously, like, there's security and stuff like that. But also, when you go into a stadium, they're very careful about the language that they use to get people excited. They aren't going to say things that maybe in other places around the world you would say those things, and the next thing you know, there's a crowd of people rushing the field after a loss. Or there's a bunch of hoodlums. Go watch Welcome to Wrexham. And they talk about it there. Some of these hoodlums getting into fights and stuff outside. Now, granted, that does happen, especially if you live in Boston. But that kind of stuff does happen in places around the world. But the reason why it doesn't happen as much here in North America is because of how careful they are in articulating, like, hey, we want our team to do well, not we want their team to suck, you know, like, or we want them, you know, saying all kinds of things, because they know that becomes a very antagonistic relationship. And next thing you know, feelings get hurt at the very least, if not limbs. And that's something that Doug Wilson's crowd, they not only do they, like, don't care about, because it's obvious. Like, if you have a whole month that's dedicated to being as loud and obnoxious as possible, and you're trying to, like, rev up your fans to be able to, like, support that with this, like, burning. I know it's just burning stuff. All right. But the whole idea of a pirate, let's be honest, is very antithetical to the Christian life. Okay. Jesus didn't call anyone to be a pirate. I don't know why this has to be said in 2023. Piracy is over unless you're still talking about getting those DVDs from LimeWire. All right. that's kind of piracy. Okay. We're still dealing with, but actual piracy, at least in a lot of places around the world, I guess, you know, I saw Captain Phillips, but why are we talking about piracy? We shouldn't have to be talking about it, but here we are. We're talking about it because that's what Doug Wilson wants to use in order to push his followers into a frenzy so that he can get more views on his stuff, so he can sell more products. Guys, they sell stuff. All right. Let's go. I think actually they might have a link here. No, they just have a transcript. Oh, who cares about that? Let's go to, I think they have a website, noquarternovember.com. I'm assuming, as I spell it horribly. All right. No Quarter November. This is a live podcast. Okay. All right. So they sell their products, guys. It's not just about, like, ooh, get some eyes on my stuff, you know, get that advertising going. It's also about making money. They want people to come out and buy their stuff. They have pirate flags. I think I saw that last year. Let's go. If we just go to Canon Press. Yeah, here we go. Right on the front page. $60 for a custom flag. Like, this is what they're doing. Yes, they want people to watch their stuff. Yes, they want people to share their stuff. Yes, they want people to go at culture and be totally antagonistic toward, you know, everything going on in the world, including Christians and other sects of the world, with a CT. All right. Said it a little weird, but like that's what they're doing. They're also selling their merchandise. Now available for pre-order. Ships November 3rd. Fly the right flag this season. No Quarter November flag is now available. Proclaim your devotion to uncompromising truth, goodness, and beauty with the NQN, which doesn't, like, that's not, that doesn't sound good at all. Like, that's, marketing guys, another mistake. All right. This huge black flag, 3x5, which isn't that big, with bone white lettering, will cheerfully dominate your street. Does this look cheerful? All right, let's be for real. All right, like, for those who don't know Doug Wilson and his whole frenzy of a group, all right, if you saw this flag flying, you know, I don't know where you'd fly it, but it, you know, not everyone has a flagpole, okay? But, like, it's just waving somewhere on your street. what are you thinking about that house? Are you thinking like, oh, this guy is very cheerful? Like, no. No, I like my skulls and stuff, but, you know, it's like this X thing and, you know, no quarter November. No quarter means everybody gets dead. Like that's what it means in pirate terms. It means that there are no survivors. Like, I don't know if you want to name like a whole season of what you're trying to do for marketing after something like that, if you're a Christian, but, here we go. Cheerfully dominate your street, hillside, or high rise apartment. Just in case you live anywhere, this is going to work there, but we have limited stock. We have limited stock. Ooh, don't you want to be one of the special people who have this flag? We have limited stock. Order before they're gone. $60. All right, this is what Christians have come to, where we're using these kinds of means in order to sell products. All right, as a Christian, you can sell whatever you want. All right, this isn't about that. You know, I get a little weird about taking in money and like you got to do a service and it better be a good service. And a lot of these guys who are like, come on to my Patreon, or like, there's no reason to be on that Patreon. If you want to support somebody, support somebody. But like, as far as like you, it's worth it. It's worth it. You get, you know, one extra stream a month. What? I get a little weird about that kind of stuff, but there are tons of Christians who just want to sell their products and want to make money. It's a side hustle for them, or maybe it's their main hustle. There's a certain way to do that. You know, doing this kind of marketing is not the way to do it. This extreme marketing of we're the right ones. Everyone else is in the wrong. This is life and death. This is so serious. You need my voice, my product, whatever it is, my media. You need all of that in order for you to be a good, faithful Christian in this day and age. And I just see this over and over and over again, where yes, okay, it's a silly thing with the fire, but this whole season that he's going through of taking an entire month of essentially fundraising, and we've seen it with different people. Guys, there's a YouTuber that a lot of you guys watch who just did like a little drive, a little fundraiser for it, where he's saying like, you need to give me money so I could do ministry. Like, it's do ministry and maybe people will give you money. You know, like we need to be careful about how we do these things and articulating things. If you want people to get saved, you give me money. That's not the right way to do this. All right. If you want to say support me, and you know, if you like this stuff and you want to support me, that's one thing. But $60 for a flag with all this marketing of a whole month being like, we're going at the world, you need us to go at the world. No. And also, making documentaries, guys. Looky. All right, we got another documentary. All right, let me see if I can do the same pose. Okay. Which guy, I gotta say, you know, for a filmmaker, can I zoom? You gotta figure out the glasses thing. I don't do this with everybody, but if you're gonna be like, I'm a filmmaker now, you know, you need to take some courses from John Adams, because like you got the softbox in your face. Okay. All right. I don't do that for everybody, but if you're going to call yourself a filmmaker, I'm going to hold you up to filmmaking standards. All right. Let's see. Who is this guy? You might wonder. This is one of the Demon Slayers. He's actually the main Demon Slayer in a Demon Slayer documentary that's coming out. And guys, don't you need it? Oh, you need this documentary, because if you don't, then revival can't happen. You know, if you don't support this documentary, let's watch some of the marketing.
I didn't want to show you so much and certain things. So this is going to be good. It's going to be powerful, but mm-hmm. it's like the movie's even more powerful.
Oh, it
so
is.
I'm giving you more than the trailer, but less than the movie. And I couldn't give you anything that's going to like ruin the movie for you. Okay.
Oh, thank
so
you.
That's all I wanted to say. And we're going to go from here. Okay. So let's all lock in right now. Let me get ready for this. Mm-hmm. If you're ready, smash that thumbs up, especially if you just joined the chat. Hit the thumbs up right now. Oh, super excited. Okay, guys, without further ado,
he found
this is our 10-minute extended preview of not the best stuff in the movie, but the stuff I could show you that wouldn't ruin the movie. Here it is, the Domino Revival extended preview.
Here we go. And they need even more support. So here's an ad.
You believe the storyline of the Bible?
Oh, who's that?
Is that in addition to what we see,
there's Marky Mark.
There is a world in which there are spiritual forces at work, God and angels, Satan and demons, and that they are at work in our world. The world we live in is impacted by forces that are invisible but powerful.
We see right now, obviously, darkness.
Guys, I have to do it. Oh, do we have it? Do we have it? Please tell me we have it. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Oh, do I not? Yes, we do. All right.
There's a great awakening that is coming.
Oh, I love that clip. That's the gold right there. That's the sweet stuff.
There's a great awakening that is coming.
Oh, that guy.
Agendas trying to get into our children, into our kids.
The After School Saiyan Club met for the first time here at Holmes Elementary. The after school program is popping up around the nation.
They are seeking to bring about division, anger, depression, suicide.
Nearly one out of every three American adults reported having symptoms of anxiety or depression this summer.
And if you just
because kids are depressed, you know, don't talk about the pandemic. All right. And everybody being secluded for several years. All right. Let's not discuss that. That's not what's important. That's not what's leading to this. You know what the problem is? You know, the problem with kids these days is demons. And so you need this documentary in order for you to understand that, because they're invisible and we're the ones who know how to get rid of them. So watch the documentary, you know, make sure that you bring your entire family to the movie theater so that you can, you know, support them. And you don't want them to have depression, right?
Storyline over our world, it's the only thing that really makes sense.
Sin is an illegitimate attempt to meet a legitimate need. And so when I look at culture, I see culture trying to meet legitimate needs, the need to be loved, the need to be accepted. I see them meeting those needs illegitimately through sex, through drugs. And so my diagnosis of our culture today is they're on the pursuit to be loved, to be known, but they're going through the wrong channels.
That evolutionary
myth,
they need
us.
Good and getting better, and with technology, education, and progress, things will improve, has proven to be completely the opposite of reality. If anything, we're bad and getting worse, and all of the
sounds like total depravity to me.
Technical progress doesn't lead to moral and mental progress.
The rates of suicide, self-harm, anxiety, and depression are up among adolescents.
If you look at the world in which we live and you just ask the question, is there an enemy? And if so, what is he doing? Then you unlock this new reality of...
Not what does the Bible say? We don't need to ask that question. You know, what does the Bible teach about, like, demons and angelology? We don't need to do that. We just need to ask, is there an enemy? And if there is an enemy, what would he be doing? If I say I was the enemy, someone read Screwtape Letters just ran with it. Okay.
Explaining what's going on in the seen realm really begins in the unseen realm and then impacts and affects where we live.
The scripture makes it very clear that when darkness covers the earth in Isaiah 60, that the glory of the Lord shall arise. So it is a setup more than what it is a downpour. And the church is maybe looking at it.
Wait a minute. Are you saying
there's a great awakening that is coming?
Okay.
Some way. But for the glory of the Lord to come in, it requires darkness. God requires darkness to bring forth light.
And so as you read the Bible, you hear about demons.
It's one of those statements that you're just like, I guess technically that might be like, it's not like he requires darkness. It's such a weird way to say it. But it's just that there is darkness. So God makes light. Like God just made the light.
And spirits and powers and principalities. And some of them have names like Baal and Astra and Chemosh.
Those are in the Bible.
And as you study them in the Bible, you realize that the things that they were encouraging and doing in ancient days are things that are happening in present days. New days, but old demons.
All right, we're going to end it there because this is basically Mike Signorelli, or however you say it. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. He just takes over from there, and the rest of it, which is an extended clip, is just him preaching because he's starting the Domino Revival. And we all know that Domino Revivals are like, it is a thing. As soon as one revival happens, it's a domino effect. It's you know, you guys know like the volcanoes over on the West Coast, and you know, like the Ring of Fire. They talk about that sometimes. If one of them were to go off, it would just be like this domino effect with these volcanoes. Basically the same thing with revivals, apparently. And Mike Signorelli, he started it. And so it's just a bunch of him preaching. Maybe one of the most narcissistic things I've seen in a long time. I don't say that like with like flippancy. I mean, like, it's really narcissistic. Like, I've watched it, but you don't need to. Basically, I just wanted to show you like what people are doing. We're in this time frame where everyone is trying to grab people's attention. And the most extreme take gets the attention, right? It's why Doug Wilson goes out into a field and lights it on fire in order for him to get people's attention. It's why Mike Signorelli, you know, with this group that, you know, if you, well, I can go over and see, he did a stream with, oh, let's see, latest. Where is it? I don't know. Is it over in lives? It is in lives. But if we were to go over here,
increase your profit and just take and work a less look time.
At this, you guys smash a like if you need a revival. That's what he was doing, right? When he was looking for the file. So if you look over here, you know, you got all these people who he's basically just using to sell a movie. No, I'm not saying he has the worst of motivations. I'm not saying he's like, he's trying to, like, it might be a subconscious thing. And judging from the sheer amount of him putting himself in this documentary, he's on the front page. He's bigger than everybody else. He is the main star of this thing. He took over for the directors when they told him like they needed it cut this way and that way. You know, it's these filmmakers were getting in his way. So he took over from that. Definitely nothing could be said about his personality from that at all. But he has all these people over here, and they're trying to tell you that you need them. You need these people in order for this revival to keep going. And don't you want it? Don't you want this revival to happen? Don't you want Isaiah Saldivar and all these guys who apparently know the gospel? Like, don't you need them to in order for, you know, these demons to be cast out in these movie theaters? It's this extreme thing. This extreme thing of trying to get all these followers from these people. If it really was, let me pose this thing. If it wasn't about money in any way, look at the numbers that are attached to these guys. These guys have huge channels. I don't know why, but they do. Like, some of them I really wonder why. But you know, they have these huge channels. If it was about getting the gospel out, I mean, you couldn't build a better team to be able to get this message of the gospel out on their free YouTube channels, you know? And they're saying like, oh, the reason why we're doing it at a movie theater is to get this message out. You could just stream it. If it's really about the gospel, if it's really about revival and having revival continue, why not stream it? Well, you don't understand, Dean. There are finances attached. It didn't need to be that way. No one came to them and said, could you please make us a revival movie? I can guarantee you no one in Hollywood did. I come up to you and be like, we need this. You know, we need to get these in the movie theaters. But what are they doing? They're trying to build this thing up so that they can make money, so they can get more fame, so they could be a bigger deal. And that's the same thing for Doug Wilson. It's not about, you know, getting their message out necessarily. I'm not saying that there is no message. All right. I'm saying this is what they're trying to do. And they're using extreme marketing to do that. They're scaring people. These demon slayers, they're trying to scare you and say, like, the reason why everything seems so bad is because of the demons. And we got to get rid of these demons. We need revival, and we need it, you know, to, you need us. You need to go watch this movie in order for there to be revival. If that were the case, you would just stream it and you'd have millions of people paying attention to those streams. You know, you'd have far more people who would come onto their streams and watch it there rather than having to pay money to go into a movie theater. The reason why you want that is because of validity. The reason why you want that is to make money. The reason why you want that is influence and power. That's what it is. And they're using extreme marketing of scare tactics in order for them to do it. And Doug Wilson is doing it in just a slightly different way. He is capitalizing on the desire that specifically young men have to be bold and to be brash about things and to really push back against things that they disagree with. And he's saying you got a free pass now for the next month to go as hard as you want against these things, against Christians, against non-Christians. Just go at the culture wherever you find it and be a pirate. Like this, it's extreme marketing. And it's also saying like the reason why you can do that is because things are so bad. Guys, we have a gospel. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but Jesus is pretty powerful. And I don't think he needs scare tactics. I don't think he needs, all these demon slayers in a movie theater in order for there to be a revival. I think that he just wants you to faithfully live and preach the gospel. And as you do that, setting your fear tactics aside, setting manipulative marketing aside, you will influence those around you. And if there's anything to this domino revival and wanting a domino revival to happen, it'll happen because of Jesus, not because of all these guys getting together on this Zoom thing and, you know, being able to have all this influence. It's not going to happen because Doug Wilson, lights a fire. I don't know. I think last year he lit a boat on fire. So I'm just going to guess and say we're talking about an airplane. You know, I want to see green screen Doug Wilson jumping out of an airplane that's on fire. You know, let's go full action movie Mission Impossible, Doug Wilson. If we're going to do it, we might as well do it big, you know. But we don't need any of that. We have the best marketing in the world called the gospel. It's an actual need that everybody has. We don't have to contrive something. We don't have to say everybody's got demons. We don't have to say that, you know, like the culture is coming at us, so we got to do this. No, you have sin and you got to do something about that sin because God is holy and righteous and Jesus paid it all for you. Let's go with that message. Like that's the marketing that we need. We don't need all this stuff. You know what? You know who's really good at marketing? There's these like, have you seen about like the big Eva comedy tours that have been going around? I don't know if you know this, but there's some awesome comedy being done by some of these big Eva guys, you know, like maybe their websites aren't doing too well or, you know, their videos aren't getting watched or stuff, especially during November because everybody's paying attention to the Doug Wilson fanboys. But, you know, we've got some comedians out there and, you know, they're pretty funny. So let's take a look at I got an exclusive for you. Let's go that route. I got an exclusive for you. You know, this extended clip from one of the more recent. Lost my place because I hit the different button. All right, I'll just play it. It's Ken Ham, guys. It's going to be fun. All right, well, thanks for coming out tonight. My name is Ken Ham. It's a blessing. A real blessing to be with you today. People know me as the Ark guy. Slightly might know me as his worst nightmare. That's an inside joke, but it's still pretty good. We're going to have some fun tonight. We've been having a lot of fun over at the Ark. We just had the Fight Laugh Feast Festival. Anyone ever heard of that one? No? Have you heard about Doug Wilson? Oh, there's the hands. All right. Well, it's his conference, mostly people that he employs. And they did the Fight Laugh Feast Festival, which... they did a lot of fighting, a lot of feasting. Seemed like a priority, to be honest. Not a lot of laughter, though. So I had to add my own little humor to it. And so I played a little prank on Dougie. I gave him a can of gasoline, set up a tripod in the field, and told him we were shooting a promo. I left him there for hours. I don't think he noticed. I got back, and he was still talking to that tripod. There wasn't even a camera. But he did say he had an idea for next year's No Quarter November video. He said he would like to burn the Ark down. I told him, this is Mount Ararat. That's not Mount Carmel back there. he seemed to really want it, though. So I told him, no, we can't do that. The fire marshal, he watches us closer than a fundamentalist watches the buffet line, if you know what I mean. So that's a no-go. But we had a good time there. A lot of Christian nationalists there. Christian nationalism seems to be all the rage right now. I don't really know what it is. I just show up at all the conferences that they're a part of. They keep on inviting me. I don't know what that's about. Next week is going to be pretty busy for us as well. We've got all the Halloween activities, which have changed a little bit over time. We used to dress up one of our interns as Satan and let all the kids give him a birthday cake and then beat him with sticks. Apparently that's wrong. We can't do that anymore. It's part of this, PC woke culture. But we decided to change things up. We're going to have a harvest festival. We're going to let all the kids come. Thousands of kids running and screaming and, worst of all, asking questions. To be honest, it's pretty awful. But we're going to try to have a good time. We're going to let the kids dress up in their favorite Bible character costumes to accept Adam and Eve. Okay? We have standards. We don't want any of that. No fig leaves to be found at the Ark. So we're going to let them dress up, though, and we'll have games and fun. And yes, some of the kids will ask me, hard questions. It's very difficult when you run an Ark. All these kids with their questions. Usually I can look at them long enough to where they'll just turn around and leave. But sometimes you get these brave kids, and these brave kids are like, I'm going to ask him anyways. So last year I got asked, Mr. Ham, why are you building the Tower of Babel? Didn't God say that's a no-no? I always try to be honest with these children, so I told this child that the truth, that we already tried Sodom and Gomorrah, and it didn't test well with some of the children. Still having nightmares, still paying for some of those counseling sessions. So, no, ACBC certified, though. All right? Yeah. But we're still paying for that, so we're just going to go with the Tower of Babel. It's the biggest thing we could think of. And so we're just going to go with that. The Harvest Festival should be pretty fun. But just in case, when a 16-year-old unpaid intern asked me yesterday, Mr. Ham, what are you going to dress up as? I told him the missing link. He said, I thought you didn't believe in the missing link. And I said, exactly. You won't be able to find me anywhere. Thousands of children running and screaming and asking questions. Good luck seeing me there. That's my time. Do you remember God created the world in 7 literal days? You're welcome, Internet. One of my favorite things is when I play a video like that and I just watch the number of people just drop. I know some of you guys love it, some of you don't. I have a really good time with it, so it's just gonna stay. Let's see what you guys have been talking about, though. Lukewarm No More says, swinging by saying hi at work, I'll have to rewatch. How about using Led Zeppelin's song title, Oh Uncle Death? You did it. You just got banned. No, you didn't. Caleb's here and says, it's funny. Matt Chandler makes a weird joke about pirates to prove a point about his lean toward charismaticism. But these guys use it as a serious persona and they expect to be taken seriously. Apparently, you guys remember the ghost pirate stuff from Chandler? That was a while ago now. Maybe we should bring that back up. Cassandra's here. Says, Dean, this is my first live. I'm at work on break right now. Hi, Cassandra. Thanks for hopping in the chat. It's bold. Some people are like, I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll leave a comment every once in a while. I'm not going to hop into the chat. That's crazy. Do it. I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks for being here, Cassandra. Steven says, I want a Dean Lentini flag. Never going to happen. Maybe it will. It'll just be probably just maybe the skull, maybe a U. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. It's not going to be $60. Caleb says, does the Domino revival come with pizza? That's a good question. Oh man. Domino's. Guys, remember when Domino's did their own marketing and they were like, hey, we know that we've been making pizza terribly for decades. But now we've changed everything, so we're good now. We didn't know what we were doing at all with pizza, but now we do. Trust us. Oh, that's one of my favorite marketing campaigns of all time. Legal Radio says they're selling pirate flags. Man, oh man. Yeah, I bet they're making a lot of money off of it too. Caleb says, it's kind of rich, Mark Driscoll talking about how demons make people depressed, etc. Know what else does? Abusive leaders. Funny how that works. Perhaps the accusation is an admission. Well, it's really easy when you've hurt so many people to be like, no, actually, it was the demon's fault. I didn't do it. The demon did it. Sar says, Mark Driscoll's take on why teenagers are depressed. Keep doubting the demons for terrible parenting. Bad parenting is mostly responsible for kids with depression. Ask me how I know. Yeah, it's one of the leading causes for sure. Sam says, things are so bad because of people like them manipulating people and drawing them further and farther away from the gospel. Yep, you just need me. You need me. In order for you to understand the gospel, you need me to communicate that to you. Don't go to your pastor. There was even some reference. Isaiah Saldivar was talking about how, you know, you don't need your pastor's permission to go and see this thing. Some of you guys have been warned. That's what he said. That's what Isaiah Saldivar said about this documentary. He warned people to not listen to their pastor about them. That's incredibly problematic, especially from these people. Who are like, these people, they're all about like authority, like the same things that people talk about fundamentalism. A lot of these guys are right in that camp. You need to listen to your pastor at all times. Do everything that pastor says, unless he's telling you not to go and see our movie. If he's telling you that, then you aren't bound. You aren't chained to your pastor. You have your own opinion. You have your own point of view. Listen to me. Don't listen to your pastor. Come on, guys. That's just messed up. But they do that. Heidi was getting real nervous about that Ken Ham video. Here it comes. Brace yourself, everyone. Caleb, here we go. Let the cringe wash over you. You know it. You know it. And Chris Spangle says, uncanny. I appreciate that. You know, it's a pretty good impression. I'm just saying. All right. Let's go over. Actually, let's do this. You know what? Let's go and let's talk about some tweets. All right. We got the tweet of the week that we need you guys to vote on. So I need to actually head over to that part of my YouTubes so I can, you know, put in a poll or something. Let me. I need to actually get that clip from Mike Signorelli of what he was saying while he was looking for that file. And just use it all the time because I have the same problem, except for he was being like very like prophetic and how he was talking about stuff. And I'm just always like, oh, I gotta find this video. And if YouTube will work. All right, let's go here. And let's start off with our first one here. And here we go. So up for grabs. All right, up for grabs on this tweet of the week. Let's start off with our first contender, and that's from our good buddy, Joel Webbin. He's not a good buddy. The problem is combining all the atrocities of 1,500 years of Christendom globally with a good dose of exaggerated numbers and comparing it with only 150 years of secular humanism nationally. Not a fair fight, and yet even after stacking the deck, Christendom beats secularism with its arms tied behind its back. So what's been going on here is that they've been talking about, you know, Christian nationalism and how it's bad and using just like, look at history. And you could see Christian nationalism has been tried many, many times actually in history. And it always ends badly. It ends in people being dead from war. It ends in, you know, all kinds of atrocities being done in the name of Christ. So, you know, some people pointed that out and all the Christian nationalists are upset. You know, who gets to say what is actually the number, you know, and oh, we're talking about 1500 years compared to just 150 and like all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's silly. It's silly as I'm trying to type. So option one is, the Webbin one. And let's go with number two here. And that is from Joseph Boot. We almost did an episode about Joe Boot, and I decided not to because honestly, I got bored. I just got bored of talking about the Christendom 2.0 guys because they're all pretty much the exact same to me. All right, but Joe Boot was retweeting Owen Strand. Owen Strand saying there's no Christian prince in Scripture. There is no New Testament mandate to theonomize the nations. And here he comes with this one-liner mic drop signed Screwtape. Oh, you know what? This is starting a trend that I really don't like. First off, out of all of C.S. Lewis's books, I'm just not a fan of what he did with Screwtape. All right. I'm just not a fan. I like his Narnia stuff. I love his Problem of Pain. I love, you know, A Grief Observed. I love so many of his works. Mere Christendom is further down the list for me. Okay. But so much great stuff. But if this is what we get from the Screwtape letters, no, come on. We're calling Christian Screwtape. We're calling him a demon. Like, I know it's partially in jest, but come on, man. This is getting a little much, don't you think? So let's say for this one, we'll call it Owen is a demon, I guess. And let's see what else is up here. You guys are going to be voting. All right. Mark Driscoll. There were a few that we could have used for Mark Driscoll. Cessationism is the closest a Christian can get to atheism without abandoning the faith entirely. It is skeptical, unbiblical nonsense that leads to cold-hearted, critical people. Like the people who tried to hold me accountable in Seattle. Oh, guys, this is one of those moments where it's just, thanks a lot, you know, to all the people who let Mark Driscoll have a platform again. You know, we just continue to get bad takes after bad takes, and he's getting likes and retweets from all the demon slayers and all the people who are mad about the cessationist documentary. Granted, I did a video. I don't think that cessationist documentary was very good, but you know what? I'm not close to atheism. So let's be a little bit more charitable with one another. This is a pretty awful one. We'll call it, I don't know. Let's call it Drisky style atheism. All right. We'll call the Webin one not fair. All right. So these are the options. It's in the chat now. There is a poll. You vote and we'll decide which one is the worst tweet that we got going on. Why is this on here? Is that real? Is that actually on here? I don't know. We're just going to roll past. We got some other stuff to do. Let's go to the penalty box. Or let's not do the intro.
Penalty. Get out of my face, man.
I don't know. Some days, guys, nothing works for me. All right. Let's see here. Yep, we can do it. All right, here we go.
2-minute minor trip, and there's a call.
All right, so we got one from Mr. Westford. No T, so it's not Westford. Not a forward in the West. It's just Westford. If you're eating or drinking in the church during the service, you can be assured that you're not in a real church. All right. This one is a little interesting for me because, you know, this is the John Piper video where we were talking about his hot take that you shouldn't be drinking coffee. No sipping coffee in the church. Come on. This is about worship. This is about real stuff going on. But this one is weird because he's going way further and saying, not only should you not drink coffee, but you can be assured that if you are drinking coffee inside the sanctuary, I need some heavenly music to play when I say sanctuary, then, you know, you're not in a real church. What a hot take. You aren't going to see that in scripture. Actually, you know, if you want to be, you know, real particular about things, you can look at the New Testament. You can see them eating together quite often. It seems to be like a huge deal. Like, people make fun of the Baptists for having all their potlucks all the time. But also, it's kind of biblical. We see it all the time. Even when there's talk about it being a negative, it's not a negative because they're eating and drinking. When Paul's talking to the Corinthians, he's like, hey, you guys are taking communions with your love feasts, and you know, some are starving and some are just getting, you know, they're just eating and drinking like crazy, and this you know, disparity, that's not okay. It's not the fact that they're eating and drinking. Like, it's that there's a disparity that's going on. You don't care about the person down the table from you who doesn't have anything to eat. Like, that's the problem there. It's not even that there's food there. So, no, this is one of those bad takes that you just go, I'm sorry, man, but it's a no-go. Welcome to the penalty box. Next.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
Tulip Erasmus, which is, I mean, we can do a couple minutes just on the name, but we're going to skip past it for now because we got to deal with time stuff. I can't get past, I don't care about his affiliations with Lori, and then I'm putting him here because of his affiliations with Vody. Thought I sound a solid channel, but the more I watch, the more dangerous this channel itself seems to be. All right. So this was when I did my tier ranking of teachers, which is kind of in jest, but also kind of serious. I stand by everything I say in those things. You can go back and you can watch it, and it gives you a good barometer if you're ever wondering like what kind of teachers Dean likes. You can go on there and you can, you know, kind of know from there. Think, you know, if you see their picture, you can know what I think about that teacher. Now, I talked about how Greg Laurie is someone who, while I disagree probably with a lot, you know, like philosophy of ministry stuff, definitely on Calvinism, definitely on a bunch of different aspects of theology, maybe even cessationism. I don't know specifically Greg Laurie's position, but I would imagine it's pretty far out there with the continuationism. But at the same time, he preaches the gospel. And when I said, I don't care about his affiliations, I'm talking about the people who are like, well, that guy is, you know, someone who, while they might preach the gospel, you know, they're also like involved with other stuff. And mostly I was talking about Frisbee back in the day and Chuck Smith and all of that. So, but, you know, the reason why I would say he's different than Vody is to my knowledge, you know, I don't watch everything Greg Laurie's ever said and done, but to my knowledge, he doesn't go out there promoting heretics. Vody Bachum does. Doug Wilson is a heretic. He thinks that justification doesn't just come by faith, but through obedience. That's heresy. And Federal Vision, I've talked about that many times, is heresy. You can see there's plenty of videos I've done on the subject. And you can go and look at Theocast's video, excellent video from them on Federal Vision. But nope. You're not going to see that with Laurie. I don't think so. So Vody, yeah, I would say because of his affiliations with Doug Wilson, who is a heretic, I would find him very troubling. So that's what I think about that. Welcome to the penalty box, Tulip. All right, let's go. Last one.
2 minutes for slashing and 2 minutes for roughing.
We got a double. All right, expect pushback when you platform dangerous teachers. So this is when Ruslan had Joel Webbin on his channel and hid every bit of like real spicy stuff behind a paywall. Now I'm sure part of that was because of the YouTube stuff, but also, you know, you pay a little bit more, you can hear all of his hot takes on all these different things through the commercials that they put out, not really dealing with the problematic teachings up front. So he's kind of platforming someone who's problematic without dealing with those things, at least in like the, you know, widespread media. All right, so I have some problems with that. And this guy says, CM, whatever, Joel is excellent. In every comment on here, when someone's asked why he's problematic, you say to Google him and why he's controversial. I don't care at all what Google has to say about that. Guys, don't do this with teachers where you're just like, I don't care what Google has to say about him. You should care. You should care. There's stuff out there. There are people who put out blogs, put out videos, personal stories even, of like, this teacher did that to me. I'm not just saying Joel Webbin. I'm saying like just teachers in general. This person did that to me. This person taught this. This person did that. Or this person isn't qualified in this way. You should probably look up that stuff and maybe care about what Google has to say about, you know, a certain person. But he says, I don't care at all what Google has to say about that. Many people misrepresent Joel. And at the end of the day, Christianity is controversial. This is where things get real problematic for me on so much of what Christians do online. Christianity is controversial, yes, because it says that people are sinners, not because it says that women have to be at home, that they need to be told by their husband when they can use the restroom, or when they can read a book, or, you know, ask their husband's permission to vote, or that there's only one vote for the house. You know, that's all controversial stuff that has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is controversial, yes, and it's a requirement. There is a stumbling block of the gospel, but there's a lot of other stumbling blocks that we carry along with us and we put in front of people that isn't anything. That doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. Also, every single popular Christian YouTuber does try to have some type of entertainment on their channel. It's not a straightforward lecture. I don't know what that was about, but here we are. I don't know if you saw this earlier, but I did a little comedy thing about Ken Ham. So I think I know what I'm talking about with that stuff. All right. Let's head over to Fundyville. And bring it on down to Fundyville. We got a lot of stuff going on today. All right. Let's have some fun watching this video. Let's see what this preacher has to say.
He gets out of the vehicle and he's got these flowery, baggy pajama pants on with faded out flyers all over them. And a vest. That's it. A few chains. Long hair. Only reason you can figure it out, you can figure it out. Bill said, look at that.
Who's Bill?
I started to take a picture of it, but I didn't want to corrupt my phone.
Because he has long hair, guys.
Silliest looking thing you ever seen in your life. So what would make a man, a biological man, want to dress that way?
With pants. Sin. Flowers on.
That's it. Not the way he was brought up. Not the fact that his daddy knocked his cereal bowl over. Had nothing to do, amen, with his mama not taking him to the bathroom enough. It's all about sin and rebellion. And you ought to look like a man. That's why preachers preached against the skinny jean thing.
Oh, yeah. Get him. Get him, preacher.
Women ought not wear pants, period, in that regard. But are you listening to me? But that's effeminate looking. It looks effeminate. You look like a sissy. That's what you look like. Well, I'm not a sissy. Well, you look like one. Well, I'll fight you. You might try. You need to look like a man. Cut your hair like a man. Put your britches on like a man. Wear a man's shirt and look and live the way a man lives.
Yeah.
Now, they
just
may
do it.
Hug your neck and embrace you in this world that you're trying to find yourself. He's just confused. He's looking for himself. I'd hate to know that I was so stupid that I couldn't find my. Now, I may not find a lot of things, but I can find myself.
I don't know. Very left turn there. You know, we're focused on the clothes, and then all of a sudden, and don't you dare try to find yourself. if you can't find yourself. Oh, okay. Oh, guys, don't wear pants. Don't you wear those pants, girls. And if you are wearing pants, make sure they're not the skinny jeans, guys. You know, you gotta look like a man. And guys, some of you guys are pointing it out. But, you know, just in case you want to know what a man looks like, that's how long your tie should be. Like, you know, going all the way down. Like, your tie should be pretty dang long if you're going to look like a man.
But that's a
because we all know that's what it means to be a man. What would I know? I wear my hat backwards. And I wear Carhartt shirts and, you know, I got a beard. And apparently that's not manly either, even though only men can grow it. Oh, man. The amount of times I was told, you got to shave at Bible college. Okay. Fundylicious. That's a nice, I like that one. That's pretty good. Cassandra says, Vody used to be one of my top teachers, but I've dropped a lot of guys this year, largely due to learning a lot from Theo, Cass, and Dean, which I'm super thankful for. Thankful for this channel. I'm sorry for pointing out things. I know you're saying thank you. You know, sometimes I kind of go like, yeah, ignorance is kind of bliss sometimes, you know, but, I hear ya. John saying his tie is too long. It's James saying his tie is too long. Heidi says, all of my trauma is from dad knocking over my cereal bowl and don't appreciate him making light of it. Right? Why are you crying over spilt milk, Heidi? Oh, man. It's kind of, it's a good question, Jerry. I don't know. please go to a church that preaches expository sermons. What are you talking about? When you got gold like this, this is gold. You got an American flag there. What's up with the chairs, guys? Oh, these preachers who come and they sit on the podium in their chairs. It's just like, why are those backs so tall? Like, you look kind of Catholic. All these guys, they're very against Catholics. But their chairs kind of look like they're made for the Pope or something. Oh, man. Why coming for the emo kids like that? You know, with them skinny jeans and they're all emotional. And they're like trying to find themselves and stuff. Oh, why are you emotional? Get over it. Stop. Just stop having them emotions. Let's see. Some of you guys were saying some stuff earlier. I am having a good Monday. Thanks, Libby. So no communion. Yeah, I guess not. Wasn't C.S. Lewis an Anglican? Why is Owen Strand adapting Lewis's style? I'm sorry for seeming uncharitable. It's a good question. All right. Let's go over and let's see. Guys, I don't know why you guys watch my stuff. I'm not good at this YouTube stuff. All right. Like I always forget that I was supposed to do something. I need to end that poll so I could tell you guys the news about who's doing what. All right, let's go over here. It's going to take 5 minutes for this thing to load. I feel like I'm on DSL sometimes. All right, let's end the poll and let's see. Who do we got? Oh, all right. We've got Owen is a demon, I guess. Got 42% of the vote. Drisky's style atheism only got 38%, and Webbin, not fair. Oh, poor Joel Webbin. He's going to be heartbroken over this. 19%. Try harder next week, buddy. So I guess we got the Owen is a demon, I guess. that's who wins. All right. That's the show for today, guys. I appreciate you hanging out with me. I appreciate everyone who left, like, when I was asking for topics and stuff. You left some topics. Definitely going to be thinking about some of those for upcoming videos. Let's see. Some people are saying some stuff. So can we at least wear trip pants, though? Oh, well, he didn't say no. It's James. Oh, emo means emotional. LOL. I didn't know. We didn't have any emo kids growing up where I was. Not a lack of a lot of black emo kids in the early 2000s. Yeah. Here's the deal. You know, I'm from Seattle, so we got all the emos. And it's just kind of funny that, you know, a Fundy is just now picking out on the emo culture. It's just like, well, the emos were back in like 2005, bro. But okay. I was at a church recently where a group of kids came up to the front and did the Pledge of Allegiance. Super uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, what do you even do? Was that part of like the service, or did they just like, come on, guys, you know what time it is. Let's head up there. We need to pay our respects. You know, like what kind of kids are doing that? It's Monday, Dean. What else are we going to watch? I don't know. You guys have lives. You guys can figure out other stuff. I don't know. Maybe you want to go watch the Demon Slayer stuff. You guys want to watch that? I don't know. Maybe for $60, you could go watch some of Doug Wilson's No Quarter November stuff from last year. That's also free online. All right. I'll see you guys in the next stream. Probably, I don't know. I'm going to try to do another one on Wednesday. And thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate you guys watching. Hey, do me a favor. Go on to the podcast. I need to upload some episodes. I know that. You know, people have told me. I forgot. You know, I'm still paying attention sometimes to that thing. But go on to the podcast on Apple or Google or Spotify or I don't know, and rate and review that thing. And maybe some more people can be finding it through the audio place. But, you know, the best place is to just be here. So you can have the chat and you can be a part of the poll and you can hear about pledging allegiance at church. All right. I'll see you in the next one.